If you want a new life, freedom from a cruel world, you can find a true life in the Word.
Welcome to True Life in the Word with Pastor Victor Tafoya. Have you ever wondered what it takes to dare to do great things and to live a victorious Christian life? Please join us now for our study in God's Word.
Chapter 4, we're going to be in verses 7 through 16 today. Message entitled Bodybuilding. Well, let's go ahead and read chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I was reading some statistics this week from the Bureau of Labor Statistics that said that only about 16% of all Americans ages 15 and older exercise on a regular basis. That statistic goes up about 2% in New Mexico, though, where about 18% of people exercise on a regular schedule. That's interesting because out of all the people polled, 100% agreed that exercise was vital to their physical and psychological well-being. I think like all those polled, you too would agree that we all need exercise. And you would also agree that it benefits our physical and psychological well-being. But the question that we need to ask is how many of us actually exercise on a regular basis? According to the same poll by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the number of people who watch television on a regular basis and sitting in front of a television with the remote just exercising their fingers was roughly, I should say, five times larger than those who exercise. In the same way, a lot of those in the church have become more into watching and hearing than those who actually take what's being given and then go and apply it in the areas that God has specifically called them to. You know, there are many ways to exercise. I was thinking about this. You can take up walking, jogging, running. You can take up aerobics, Pilates. You can go swimming. And you could even get a membership and join a gym where you could do all these things. Now, if you join a gym, you'll find a group of people who know how important exercise is because they are there primarily to build up their bodies. We call them bodybuilders, and bodybuilders know one thing. They know that when they begin to build up muscle mass in one area of their body, they also need to build up muscle mass in another area of their body to balance it out, to get a full body workout and tone their bodies up evenly. You see, if you only build up one area of your body up, it not only looks silly, but it leaves you a little bit unbalanced. I mean, I'm into exercising my stomach, as you can see, and my arms and my mouth. And so my stomach, my midsection, has left me a little bit unbalanced. I mean, have you ever seen someone who has these massive arms, this chiseled chest, only to see their legs, and they look like something that came from a bucket of chicken? Their chicken legs. Or to see someone with these massive, well-cut, well-defined legs, only to look up and see that they're not very built up in their upper torso. It's silly, right? Doesn't look well, and you can tell the people who do that because they're kind of unbalanced. They're unproportioned from one part of the body to the other. But bodybuilders, for the most part, know the importance of a balanced workout. And though they work out every part of their body evenly, they also know that at times, there are going to be times when they need to concentrate on a certain area. But they never do that, at least most of them never do that, at the detriment of the entire body. In the same way, I think it's the same way for the church. The church is called the body of Christ. And Paul the Apostle even points that out several times in this little letter to the Ephesians. He calls the church the body. And because the church is considered a body, the body of Christ, it too needs to be built up in Christ for the work that God has called the body to do, so that the body can work together, so that the body can have unity within itself. Though the body is one body, each part of the body is unique and diverse in what it's designed to do. I think that's what Paul the Apostle tried to get across to the church at Corinth when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27, when he said, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many." Unfortunately for the church for the most part has taken the view that instead of all the limbs working together, instead of all the limbs being built up by fulfilling what God has called them to do, some parts, for the most part, have taken to exercising themselves in spite of the body. Again, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, in the United States, people who exercise were about as likely to exercise alone as with a companion present. Of those aged 15 years and older who engaged in sports and exercise activity on an average day, between 2003 through 2008, about one half did the activity alone. Men and women were equally likely to exercise alone. So too with the body of Christ. We're apt to go it alone. So then, is it any wonder why the body of Christ isn't exerting the type of influence in the world that it should, or that it once had? It's because some parts are trying to build up the body all by themselves, while others are basically exercising alone apart from the body, while even others are not even exercising at all. So what needs to be done? Well, we need to come together in unity. We need to recognize that we're all one body, one great organism known as the body of Christ. The first thing that links us together is that we're all part of the body of Christ, if indeed you've been born again by the Spirit of God. And that's what Paul is referring to here in verse 7 when he says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." The thing that we need to recognize, I believe, is that Paul is talking about two kinds of gifts here. The first and the most basic gift that links us together is the gift of grace, or God's unmerited favor towards us. And what was that gift of grace that Paul speaks of? Well, if you look at chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, you find out real quickly what it is. It says, "For by grace, God's unmerited favor, you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." It's a gift of Christ himself is what Paul is talking about here. And the salvation that we have through him by faith in him. That's a grace that he's bestowed on us, his unmerited favor, the gift of salvation through Christ. Paul is saying that the first thing that links us together is the undeniable fact that we are all one body. We're all united because of the same Spirit of Christ that dwells within us as we are the body of Christ. You could say that we're all members in the Lord's gym, if you want to put it that way. You go to a gym, you find out real quickly and you see real quickly that there are different types of people, don't you? You'll find people who are well cut, well defined, as I said, bodybuilders out there working every part of their bodies. You'll find people like me if I went to a gym right now. You'd find people like me who are really disproportionate, kind of feel out of place. You'd find tall people, short people. You'd find chunky people, skinny people. You'd find people of all nationalities, all races. They're all unique and diverse in one membership in a gym. Well, in the Lord's gym, we're all unique because we have one membership. We're all members because Christ saved us. We've become one family in one body. And I think the church, for the most part, has forgotten that one fact. Instead of working together to fulfill the calling that God has called the church to, we've kind of all spread apart. Where we were reading today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, each member is doing their own thing instead of working together to get God's message out. We're all united because of the same Spirit of Christ that dwells within the body of Christ. That's what links us together, and that's what's going to link us together for all eternity. That's the glue that keeps us together. That's what identifies us with each other. You know, in the early church, they had a big problem with people who wanted to destroy the church. Started with the Pharisees and Jesus and legalists in the early church. Well, when Rome came along, Rome wanted to destroy the church also, and also all these people who didn't want Christianity to infiltrate what they believed. And so what they did was they started sending out spies into the church to find out where these groups of Christians were meeting so that they could arrest them and ultimately kill them, take them to the Colosseum and have them killed. What they would do then was the Christians came up with this ingenious plan. They wouldn't go out and say that they were Christians out publicly, but they would identify themselves with certain symbols. Some would make a sign of the cross. Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross, right? So that would be one symbol. Another symbol would have been the ictus, or you've seen it on cars all the time. That's the little fish. Others would have been the eternal Trinity, so to speak, the old symbol for the Trinity. You got three different kind of squares all linked together, the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, these spies soon learned about these symbols, and they would capture these guys. But the Christians would meet together in secret a lot of times by revealing themselves through these certain symbols. And when one symbol was discovered, they'd soon come up with another symbol. But that's what linked them together, was Jesus Christ. And I think we've kind of forgot that. That was the seal on them, was the Holy Spirit. You ever know that when you're talking to somebody and you're talking about, no matter what, the conversation starts to turn religious and you start talking about God or Jesus Christ and you find out that that other person is a believer in Jesus Christ. You ever find out how you feel like you have much more closeness to them immediately? It's like, wow, you're a believer. You're like me. We're brothers and we're sisters in Christ. And it's a feeling. It's a knowledge that you have that just doesn't happen. Even closer, the Bible says, than a brother or a sister of the flesh. Well, that's what brings us together, is our oneness in Christ. And I thought that was interesting, that we're all linked together in Christ, the seal in Christ. It's interesting because the Bible tells us that in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, that everyone will be forced to take the mark of the beast on themselves, either on the forehead or on their right hand, and they won't be able to sell or buy without it. That's the mark that will link the world together. Instead of the Holy Spirit that links Christians together, this will be the mark that will link the world together, those unbelieving in Jesus Christ. The thing about that is that the Bible tells us in that same book, Revelation 13, that those who willingly take the mark can never be saved. By then, I believe that the church will have already been raptured by Jesus Christ, and they'd be in heaven already with the Lord. But the Bible also makes clear that there will be those who, after the rapture, will come to faith in Jesus Christ during the tribulation, 7-year tribulation, and because they don't take the mark of the beast upon themselves, most of them will be martyred. The thing that links the believers together, the thing that binds us all in the body, is the fact that the grace that has been given to us, as Paul has been saying here, is the indwelling Spirit of Jesus Christ within the church. Notice Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. It says, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth," speaking about trusting in Jesus Christ, "the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. You were sealed. Nothing can take you away. You guys know what it's like when you go on a trip, right? Say you go overseas. You pack your stuff. You write down what it is on the box. You write your name. You go to the post office. You make sure your name, you make sure everything is sealed on there. And then you put your stamp of ownership upon that box. And when you get over there, they only give it to you because it's your box. These are your valuables. These are your possessions. Well, in the same way, God has put His Holy Spirit upon you. You are now sealed. You are now His precious possession. Nobody can take you from Him at all. That's what Paul is saying here. The gift of Christ, whereby comes salvation and redemption. But he's also talking, notice, about another gift in Ephesians chapter 4, the gift of the Holy Spirit that each one of us receives upon receiving the gift of grace, which is Christ in us. He says in verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. It's interesting that the word that Paul uses for grace here is a Greek word, charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, charis. It simply means grace, God's unmerited favor. Now we get another word from that word. We get the word charisma from it, or charisma from it. Now we've all heard of a movement called the charismatic movement. We've all heard of the charismatic gifts. People who use those terms always refer to the exercise of most of the time of the sign gifts, the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gift of miracles, the gift of healings. And these are what we call the sign gifts, those that we can actually see with our eyes. The gift of tongues, or at least they believe to be the gift of tongues today. But really, that's not what the word means. The charisma is not just the gift of tongues or the sign gifts. Tongues, in fact, are, if you do a study in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, are at the very end of the list of the charismata, or the charismatic gifts. The charismatic gifts include all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, beginning with those mentioned here in chapter 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, teachers, as well as other lists elsewhere in scriptures, Romans chapter 12, here in Ephesians chapter 4, to name a few. These are the charismatic gifts, or the charisma of the Holy Spirit. Well, what are these gifts? Well, they're given to the individuals in the body of Christ as special abilities or capacities to serve where you are. You'll find a partial list here, of course, like I said, another one, more complete list, 1 Corinthians 12, another list in Romans chapter 12, including some duplications. You'll also find a brief list of the gifts in 1 Peter chapter 4, and you'll also find some other isolated references elsewhere in the New Testament. When the Apostle Paul, you might remember, wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he said this, he said, stir up the gift or the charisma that is in you, which was given to you. He uses that very word again, charisma, the grace that was given to you. Of himself, he said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, to me, though I am very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So we see another charisma, the gift of preaching, was also one of the gifts. Now, we're not going to go over all the gifts today, only those mentioned here, but notice that Paul emphasizes the fact that each one of us has been given a gift. Each one of us, it says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Each of us has a gift. There's no one who is a Christian, no one who is part of the body of Christ, who can say that they haven't been given a specific gift or gifts to be used in helping in building up the body of Christ, wherever it is. And no one can, because of what we've read earlier in 1 Corinthians 12, can say that they've been shortchanged by God in the gifts or gifts that they've been given because they believe that the gift or gifts that they've been given are lesser gifts than someone else. Notice what it says in the book of Romans. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another." We're linked, in other words. "Having then gifts or charismata, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, or in other words, serving, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." We've all been given gifts by the Holy Spirit to use. And that's an important word that Paul uses here, to use, because it means that God has given us tools. He's given us equipment to build with. You know, my little Hito, he goes to the house and he watches a show. I don't know what channel it is, Nickelodeon, I guess. He watches a show called Handy Manny. And anybody who's seen Handy Manny knows that Handy Manny gets a call, and he's in his workshop and he gets a call, and immediately someone has some work to do, either to build a shed or to fix a pipe or something. And so he grabs his toolbox. Well, all these little tools are all animated. And so they all jump into his tool bag, and he takes them over and he puts the tool bag down. Well, he checks out the situation, and each one of the tools has a specific job to do. And after they're done, whatever they were working on is finished. It's fixed or it's built up. But each one of those tools had a specific purpose. And they're all working together, one right after another. You could say they all complement each other with what they're doing. And that's the way the church needs to be. And that's what Paul is trying to get across here. We need to remember that although there is unity within the body of Christ, there's also diversity according to what the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. We're all united in Christ and because of Christ, but there are differences among us due to the different gifts that we've been given. We can see that in our physical bodies. Our hands function differently than our eyes, which function differently than our toes. So too, in the body of Christ, each part functions in a unique way according to the gift each has been given.
Please join us next week as we continue our study in God's Word. For more information about our church or to listen to more sermons by Pastor Vic, visit True Life Fellowship on the web at tlfabq.org or call us at area code 505-489-6326. You can also write to us at True Life Fellowship, P.O. Box 10476, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87184-0476. We'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m. at Raymond G. Sanchez Community Center, 9800 4th Street Northwest, just north of Alameda Boulevard here in Albuquerque. May the Lord bless you as you study His Word this week.
He is the Word.
Hi, this is Pastor Victor, and we would like to invite you to come down to meet with us at the Raymond G. Sanchez Community Center on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 9800 4th Street Northwest. We'd love to talk to you and say hello. If you'd like more information, please call us at 505-489-6427. If you have any questions, you can email us at truelifefellowship@yahoo.com. Or you can catch us on Facebook. Just type in True Life Fellowship. We'd love to hear how this radio program has impacted your life. The response we receive will go a long way in determining if we're going to continue airing this program. So don't be shy. Call us, email us, or catch us on Facebook. We'd also like you to join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. We'd love to hear from you, so stop by and say hello. Again, that number is 505-489-6427. See you then. God bless you.
He is the Word.